Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
I don't ask anybody if you're a Christian anymore.
No, that's
who is Jesus to you? Are you trying to say, am I saved? No. Who's Jesus to you? That's a good question, because then you find out. Because if you don't know him, you wouldn't you'd be able to answer that question.
No.
Or if you think you know him, you could answer it and you go, oh, is that? No, he's not just a prophet.
Or a carpenter.
Or a carpenter.
That's right.
That's what somebody told me once. Mm-hmm. I said, who is Jesus to you? After a long, extended time wasting my life for a few moments with this particular person who was coming into the churches, trying to organize the churches from PICO, Pacific Institute of Community Organizing. And they were coming into the churches and organizing them. He was from, I don't know what college, at university in Berkeley. And and finally, I'm thinking, because I was really like, you know, you talk about the church, but like, I finally had to say, who's Jesus to you?
Right.
This is freaking me out. You know, who is this? And I found out he didn't even know Jesus.
Wow.
But pastors were letting him in. I mean, he had the religious lingo down, but what he was doing was he was using God's folks to accomplish his goals.
Mm.
And because you need a crowd, according to Marshall Gantz, to be able to organize. Mm-hmm. And you need a narrative.
Wow.
And you need to appear that you're interested in the people of what's going on. So you want to seem like you are them, even when you're not. And when he said he's a carpenter.
Mm.
And a teacher. That's what he said. A carpenter and a teacher.
Wow.
That's a clue.
And I said, okay.
Yeah.
The end of this whole merger thing going on right
see?
Here. I will see you later. And that actually was on the sandy beaches of Pensacola when I was having a nice lunch and baffled like a puppy going, what meanest thou this? And the sad thing about it, I went and met with a lot of these particular organizers from PICO, Pacific Institute of Community Organizing in Applegate. A Jesuit priest retreat. And when you speak to Jesuits, they're so cool. I mean, they're just very knowledgeable. They spend so much time in education and theory. And I, you know, John's a lot like me. Just, well, no, not maybe not, because the movie was thrown away because of one particular thing.
Yeah.
No, anyway, I'll talk to you.
The movie
I love
was
you.
Not
God
thrown
loves
away
you.
For one
I
thing.
I love you.
For a series of things.
a series of things. And so... But then you realize, like, what are you doing here? You know? And anyway, so this whole table, it was like a United Nations type setup where you're all in this rounded, oval, squared off room with all these organizers facing each other. And yes, I was sitting there. I was an organizer for PICO and GPCO. And I started looking around and hearing testimonies. And so I'm sitting at this table, these organizers. The most powerful move of God potentially in the century is taking place in America that's taking place at that time, because the beginning of the outpouring at Brownsville Assembly of God, where Pastor John Kilpatrick was pastoring the revival, had begun. It just began. Father's Day, 1995. And he's the one that asked me to get involved. Anyway, so, but he didn't know. I mean, until I got back, once we talked, it was like, the end.
Yeah.
You know, we just didn't know. Sometimes you have to hear a matter out.
A few times.
Then we met some of the leadership. But anyway, so then, so I'm sitting here, I'm listening to these, and this is what's happened. You have to understand that pastors are human beings. And the greatest thing, most fearful thing your pastor can hear, and the greatest thing that they can hear is you're praying for them, sincerely praying for them. Another thing, is there anything I can do for you and mean it? And the fearful thing is they want to ask the question, well, why? The last person that helped me put me in the hospital, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so they're concerned, because obviously being a pastor, being in ministry, they've been under attack a lot. You know, one example is that, you know, Pat Robinson was answering some correspondence that was coming in on CBN, and some guy says, you know, I read my Bible a lot. Does that mean I'm called into the ministry? And Chris Pat's going like, What does that mean? You know, he's like, you know, if you can do anything else, don't get in the ministry. And a lot of people who love God just kind of stepped up to get in the ministry, and they didn't realize that Satan, this is a spiritual battle, and Satan is going to not, he's going to beat you, spiritually speaking, if not physically speaking. But look at Miriam Abraham. Yeah. Look at the persecution that's taken place in other areas. And sometimes, as Steve Kalashevsky can attest, it was easier to fight a physical war in Iraq than to walk faithfully and spiritually and before the Lord, because there's one thing you can see in a physical battle is your enemy.
Right.
You can see your enemy. Is that right? Right.
Yes.
I think I just got ran over by an IED, just blew up on my face, spiritual IED, but I'm not sure. Can you help me pick myself back up again?
Yeah.
And so meaning this, your pastor needs somebody who is there for them, who cares for them, who prays for them, who's looking after their family, who expects nothing in return, like an armor bearer, you would think, that's just there to serve that pastor and serve that pastor's vision, if it's of God, and to be there and just to kind of be that person that wants this confidant. And so many people are under attack that pastors, one of the biggest issue with pastors, you know, that Brother John Kilpatrick of Churches of His Presence recently said, is that the confidence level, they just constantly are losing their confidence. Well, it's the reason why. I mean, there's a reason why, right? And I was confident yesterday morning. I don't know what happened. And so you can help build their confidence up. You can be that, you can be the Joshua and the Caleb, because you know that he or she hears from God, and you know you have this whole journey with them. And then you know when God says it, you know there's no choice but to do it. There's going to be some long 40-year consequences. And you could be the one that says, you know, we can do this. Mm-hmm. And mean it. That you're not going to like, you don't say, you can do this. You say, we can do this. And stick, stay, and stand, even when it stinks and it'll stink. And when I get back, I want to talk about why I'm bringing this up. Because all these organizers being led by not God are going into all these pastors' offices, and that they're the pastors, they're being there for your pastor when you're not there for them. While you're at your work and you called that building the church and you didn't realize you were, and you thought he or she was carrying all this load and they could do it all by themselves, which is not what God said to do. And while that was going on, she or he, these organizers, went into your pastor's office and began to go, I care for you. What's happening? Just tell me your problems. And in Applegate, California, I heard pastors' issues and problems at that round table because pastors from all over the nation shared their hearts with these people who don't care or less. They were just looking for an inlet into the church. So, you know, I just want to talk a little bit more about this, how you can be there for your pastor. I don't care how many, if you have, as a matter of fact, there's a book that was just written called Overwhelmed by the third or fifth largest mega church gathering in America, that he was at the point of suicide.
Wow.
So I would say he needs a friend.
Yeah.
And then,
or two.
But if anybody says, you know what, I am going to start a prayer group, I'm going to start an abiding group, I'm going to respond to the call of God on my life, and I'm going to get rightly related, I'm going to get, you know, trained up in the ways of the Lord. You know, people say, well, you don't need to be trained. It's like, well, you know, Paul was the Pharisee of the Pharisees. The reason why he actually had some know-how, he was able to immediately begin to preach because he knew something. Mm-hmm. And the dangers of not knowing something, although you can be used, is all of a sudden you'll preach false doctrine.
Mm-hmm.
And either way, and so you're doing all this, and understand, that's not going to come without you having to do that by force. You're going to be personally attacked. You're going to be, your betrayal will be like a normal type thing that you'll go through. Hearing some stuff on Levi up there in Montana, and his biggest issue when he got there to find out how many religious people had betrayed him. That was his biggest hit.
Wow.
Second biggest hit was losing his daughter.
Yeah.
And 2 years ago. And so this happens, you know, and then you preach, they preach a message, your pastor preaches a message. Don't think that the enemy is not going to come and try to attack them with the antithesis or blame them with the antithesis of that truth that just went out.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy. Satan's a liar and he's a father of lies. In other words, I've heard one statistic that said that pastors in America are like the highest insurance risk. They're like, even though they're young, they have hearts of like 50, 60-year-olds because they're doing something you're not supposed to do anyway. They're not supposed to be everything. They're supposed to be a pastor, you know? And that does not mean that they, anyway, even with that, just be in there for them. You know, just honestly be there for them. And understand, a lot of people said they're going to be there for them, and they had ulterior motives. They wanted position. They wanted power. They wanted to take it over. They wanted to turn the division in a different direction. Mm-hmm. They wanted to, you know, they just saw, you know, that they feel like they're more valuable because now they're close to this leader type person. They were drawn by the anointing on their life and was seduced by that. And they were actually being drawn to that, almost like Simon was drawn to what Philip was ministering in the book of Acts. And so that's happened to them over and over again. So just because they look at you with suspicion when you say, you know, I'm going to be here for you, don't worry about that. Just be there for them over years. And even if geographically, you know, maybe you're in the military, geographically, you go somewhere else, you call that man or woman up and you ask the question, what's going on? I want you to know I'm here for you. Are your kids all right? You know, what can I do for you? I want to do something for you. And just hearing that, you know, will just greatly encourage that minister, that pastor. And because that's not happening, you know, it's we have people like PICO, the Pacific Institute of Community Organizing, and GPCO, and these different organizations who walk right into the church. And you know, plain as day, in America, there ain't nobody in that big building all week long except a secretary, maybe, and possibly that pastor. He's at all these attacks are coming against them, and this person comes in and says, "Can I see you for a moment?" And they don't want anything. They don't want. They have. I don't want anything from you. And they say, I want to be here for you. I want your to partner with you so that your church, you can make impact on this community. And he's like, imagine he's been preaching for years and it's like has nobody's listening to make that impact. And so he's drawn into that. And then the person begins, I'm talking about what community organizers often do through PICO now. I don't know other ones. Other ones could be different than this one. But the Pacific Institute of Community Organizing out of California, out of Compton, California.
Compton?
Yes. And a Jesuit priest started it some time back. And so when this person walks in and says, how are you doing? I know you're working hard. I talked to a lot of other pastors and that you're, you know, your back's against the wall quite often. They're just, everybody's bringing you their problems. And I know, I'm sure you got problems and nobody's asking you. I just want you to know, first of all, I'm here for you. I want to be able to partner with you because I know there's some things that you want to do in this community. And I want to be able to help organize your folks around your vision of what you want to do in that. I mean, think about that. You're going to help me. Remember all the helping things?
Yeah.
Like, is this a knife at my throat right now? You were just going to help with typing. Anyway, so then, and so, it wasn't really a knife at my throat. It was my back. And so they're vulnerable. You've been beat down. You know, you've been lied to. You've been betrayed. You're probably having struggles in your own relationship because the enemy's not going to not mess with your own relationships, with your family and all that. Your board is even thinking about, it's about the American legal system and the way that, you know, Robert's Rules of Order is not realizing that God's over the church. And all of a sudden this person walks in and says, you know what? I can organize your people. You want this community to see you doing something positive in this community. You know, for example, you want this drug situation to stop in your community. And I've been taught community organizing skills, and I don't want to lead it. I want you to lead it, and I want to be able to talk to your people. And then there's going to be somebody in there that you will approve of. That will they'll be the leader. You know, we'll just have a couple of brainstorming sessions with big white paper on the wall, and you're drawing all these thought, all the stuff that you do. And they're talking about, and they're just spilling their beans. The church is going like, this is issues and this is problems and all that. And they're just pouring their life out like the pastor did to this woman who doesn't even know God, who's about to tell everything that he said at Applegate at this round table, because they're trying to organize America. That's what their goal is at that. This is like in 95. And so the whole church, this pastor says, my goodness, I'm just so thankful for you. yes, help me do what I want to do. And then what happens is he calls a meeting. He has the influence. He has the authority over that flock. And so they're going to listen to him. They wouldn't have listened to this woman or man outside from Applegate or Pico or Compton, but they're going to listen to him. And when you get back from this break, I'm going to tell you, you know, how this thing progresses so you can be on your guard against this. Paul said, I warned you day and night with tears that wolves would come in amongst you. Think about that. And so we got to be careful that people that don't know God and are not Christians, they don't belong with the flock. And so we have this pastor that in this whole situation, speaking about the PICO model, the Pacific Institute for Community Organizing, their model of organizing is this pastor now turns over his authority and his influence to this organizer. Mm-hmm. They would not have listened or followed this organizer because they know the voice through their pastor of the Lord, but they don't know the voice of the Lord through this person, the stranger. Mm. That's why they had to go to the shepherd. They had to go to the authority. They had to take his or her authority and get their blessing so that they could actually take almost like a mantle and say, hey, I'm going to turn over. And so what you have, this stranger in the presence of all this family here, they bring them in. They invite all the church to come listen to this person talk. The pastor, in front of everyone, says a blessing of this person. Not a blessing, but just he's got his blessing once they go, you know. And so this person's here to help us. You know, that vision that I've been talking about in this community, they're here to help us. And so the sheep automatically look and go, okay, this is the shepherd, says the school. Obviously, he's done some research. They've done some research, and I'll just trust them. And now everything got turned over to this organizer, who I can tell you very specifically, they could care less. There's a progression step here. They don't care about the red light you're trying to get up. They don't care about the drug problem. I mean, they come from Compton. I mean, you're talking about drug problems. I mean, if community organizing worked, Compton wouldn't be struggling like it's struggling now.
Yeah.
But, and Detroit wouldn't be struggling. Mm-hmm. Washington wouldn't be struggling and America would not be where it is right now. But anyway, so imagine, so you have this organizer that came in, like I said, because nobody was there for that pastor. And that's what you got to do. You got to be there authentically. Your job for the rest of your life, if all you did was to be an armor bearer for that man or woman of God, authentic armor bearer that prayed for them, that helped them, rescued them, covered them, defended them. I mean, imagine how huge that is, because if they are standing up and fighting for the body of Christ, prophesying, winning souls, discipling and all that, and you guarded that, that's your reward. That's your reward. Versus saying, like, I got to go find my thing. And it's like, you're going to sit there and let this community organizer come in there and take your pastor down because they were actually broken and had nobody there to be for them because you couldn't be there for them. This is how they know that we're Christians, because we're there for each other. Understand that this model of doing church, where the church is the building and you show up once or twice a week in this building, but you go off and have no relationships, that's not what God wants. But you, in the midst of that, you can have family, you can have connectivity, you can have relationship. You can say, I care and I mean it. You can be there for them. And so anyway, that's how this all began. You know, somebody comes in and begins to take advantage of a king called Ahab and says, what's wrong? Why are you so depressed? And, I've been talking to these people at Israel, you know, and I just feel like I need to have this piece of land for some reason. And it's going to change everything. I got this whole food provision thing going on for the kingdom, and Naboth won't give it to me. And then all of a sudden the organizer comes in and says, give me your ring. I'll get this for you. And at that moment, God said, I hated you for doing that, for turning over that authority, being led astray, giving up your place of authority. You cannot give over those sheep to some stranger out of California. Mm-hmm. I had to look. Did we not? I stood. Yeah. I was walking out of the hospital, and we just had some pastors that just walked out of a wine and dine celebrity Miami meeting with PICO. And they were just enamored, you know, with the awe factor. They're showing me a picture of someone. I can't even hardly see their phone, right? And so I'm like, is that your dad? It's like they're thinking that it messed up. I couldn't even see. I needed my glasses on. Anyway, so, and I finally had to look at them, and I love them. I love these guys. And I definitely am close to one of them that I know is like, and I said, I have to tell you up front, if you do this thing with Pico, I can have no part of it. None whatsoever. Then I said, but who says we need Pico to be able to organize our state? Pastors, why do we need non-believers? Mm-hmm. Why do we need Berkeleyettes from Berkeley? Why do we need Jesuits to come in who've given up following God in the context of these, not all, but these, following God and found out a whole new way to be able to control people and gather people and push agendas? And they said, yeah. yes, we could do this. You know, I'm excited about that because I think this is going to come to pass. And so imagine that pastor just turned over all, you know, that 30, 40, 50 leaders, turned them over because they're going to send leaders in there for sure. Because somebody, the talk was, we're going to find somebody you approve of to be able to lead this thing that you approve that's got your rubber stamp, pastor. And understand the organizer just got the stamp already. Oh, I'm not leading. And this is a famous quote that you now understand. When you hear our president saying, I'm going to lead from behind. That's how organizers lead. They lead aggressively from behind, but they lead. He's not leading. He's doing something. That's the whole methodology of Saul Alinsky and Rules for Radicals and just methodology for organizing in the world's way. And so at that point, that whole church just got turned over. And then they're going to come into this particular meeting place. The pastor's going to basically put his hand on them and by words and then say, now listen to them.
Yeah.
And everybody's going to listen. Everybody's going to listen. And this person who I said, who is Jesus to you? Will stand up there and he didn't even know Jesus, is going to talk to people who are the body of Christ. And he said, whatever you did to the least of these of mine, you did to me. When you turn that church over to that person who did not know God, trying to meet your agenda, that was evil. And you'll be held accountable for that. You need to take it back. You know, as Coach McCartney wrote his book about sold out, he said, take it back. Mm-hmm. You don't ask for it, man. Mm-hmm. Take it back. And so now they're listening. They're all listening. And so they have all this brainstorming session with your people. And then with that, they'll put these white pieces of papers. I don't know if you've been to university. This is the way you do it in a classroom. You just start hanging this talking paper up all over the place and writing their ideas. And so now these leaders are just pouring their heart out. What's the problem with this community? You know, what's the problem do you find happening here at your church? What are the biggest issues that you're having? And they're trying to narrow it down to something that a common issue. You think about it. Why would they even care? Why would California even care about your city? Because they're just trying to get everybody on the same page. As a matter of fact, they're doing what Marshall Gantz said on Bill Moyer's show. This is what he said. Marshall Gantz is a community organizer, and he said to Bill Moyer and company on the show, he says, it's like Saul Alinsky says, you have to, organizers themselves have to be well-integrated schizoids because you have to polarize to mobilize and depolarize to settle. But without polarization, you're never going to mobilize anyone. And yeah, then there's a time to negotiate. Understand, all this is trying to get the cattle, the sheep, together moving in one direction. And what's going to do it is healthcare. What's going to do it is these beautiful abandoned children on the border. We're going to organize, we're going to go help them. And we're helping them. But we've got to be careful. We've got to keep our eyes open. And the shepherds got to get back over their flocks. And we've got to make sure that we're following those people who God's established over us. This is a dangerous time for the church. And so all of a sudden they find out the drug issue, that's the biggest thing, and they all agree upon it. And they notice when they're organizing, when he's in that meeting, he's realizing this guy named Bobby is everybody's listening to him. And also he notices that Bobby's listening to him, the organizer. Mm-hmm. And he also knows that the pastor put his hand on both of them. So he'll go meet that week with that pastor. And he said, listen, this is how it went. the brainstorming session. A lot of pastors don't even know how to do these kind of brainstorming sessions. So he's like, wow, we found out some good stuff here. And they will all want to do and get involved with this important social justice thing. Mm-hmm. And everybody will see that we are good. And no one's good but God. And so then, and he says, you know, and I just want to say, I saw everybody there. This is really great. You got some great people here. They're great. I mean, just, you know, it's great. You know, Susan and Jim. And I mean, I can see how you really got a great vision for these folks. But Bob, you know, he really stood out. Everybody kind of listened to him really well. And I'd like to be able to work with Bob. That's okay with you. And I think they'll follow Bob. What he's saying is Bob will follow me. Mm-hmm. And they'll all follow me because of Bob and you. And next thing you know, they're organizing around some drug issue, which is really important to do. But you don't need the world to organize you, church. You didn't need Pico to come in there and organize you. We can do this thing. The church can do this thing. And next thing you know, everybody's excited because next thing you know, you have people who were never led before are standing up at city council meetings and county commissioner meetings and governor in front of governors. And you'll see the organizer in the back of the room like this because he's trained everybody in that room what to say, what to do. And they're speaking his words, not their words. And they stand up and they say what they wanted to say for a long time about that particular issue. And then all of a sudden, because politics is like that, they go, hey, let's fulfill Mrs. Jones's will. You know, what Bob is saying, the whole church is behind them. Yes, we want to stand up for this thing. And they just go, oh, we did it. Mm-hmm. And so everybody now is been organized, and the organizer didn't care what the issue was because, just like they say, you have to be a well-integrated schizoid. It doesn't really matter what the issue is, just as long as they'll get around it. They got to experience the victory and feel like they led. And as you're progressing, the next thing you want to do is says, now we need to focus on this bigger state issue, this bigger national issue. And all of a sudden, they'll use your church's name to fill their agenda and the nation, which is a dark agenda. And let me tell you why it happened. No, when we get back from break, I'm going to tell you how this whole thing can be defeated. It can be defeated in the very beginning because you may have forgot how this whole thing started. Getting back to how did it get to this point? How in the world does PICO, Pacific Institute of Community Organizing, go to Washington, D.C. today? Organizations like ACORN and these other ones. Mm-hmm. And they show up and they say, We have 700 organizations that stand with us, and you need to listen to us. We have 40 organizations in your state, and you need to listen to us. You know what they're doing? They're talking about you, Pastor. They're talking about you and the organizer that you brought in, and they're claiming you now. Mm. And that 2% or 1% that you really never pay, but they established it, so you kind of feel glad they're just not charging that 2%. But now, since there's some sort of due factor, that you're connected now to this organization. And so when they go lobby someone, they bring you up. You are one of the numbers that they lobby to push their agenda. That's how that works. It's about popularity. It's about the numbers game. And Paul says, I don't come to you with any enticing words at all. It's not about political power. It's about walking in the power and the presence of God. But the question we have to ask ourselves is this. How did this whole story begin? It began because you never thought about being there for your pastor. You just assume that they had a perfect marriage, and the enemies convince you to envy their marriage instead of saying, I need to be there for them. When he saw other relationships outside the church that he thought or she thought they needed to have, you know, some sort of healthy relationship, you shut him down. You cut him off. You go there and you go, he's here for me to give me whatever I need, God's there for him. That's what happened. He was dying in his office. Like this pastor with the fifth largest gathering in the nation just wrote a book called Overwhelmed. He was dying. He said he was ready to commit suicide. Why? Because the devil's going to beat your brains out. You got to have someone. Think about it. Moses, hearing God, seeing the face of God, going out in the plan of God, on the edge of the promise of God, sent in some folks to go check out the promise of God. And they all came back and they told him all these negative things, which that's going to happen. And he Moses, who knows and heard the voice of God, fell on his face and he began to cry and it's all over. And he's going, God, why did you ever make me a pastor? Why did you ever call me in the ministry? That's not what he's saying. What he's saying is, why did you even bring us out here to die? I mean, these giant reports and these things too big that I can't even manage a budget. I can't even balance my checkbook. You know, all that thing's going on. But then you hear a voice. You hear a voice. There was hundreds of voices saying the other thing. But you hear because there was somebody there for Pastor Moses. There was somebody there for that minister. There was two somebodies, Joshua and Caleb. They heard everything, what God had said. They heard what Moses had said. And they believed God. And they knew that Moses was called. And they didn't care what they had to face. They looked and they said, listen, this is the report. God said we can do this thing, and this land is ours. And they're talking to this leader who's down on his face. There was godly men in the presence of this godly leader to be able to remind him of the things of God and not just pushing. This is you. They said, we can do this. Mm. It doesn't take much because he or she's called. I mean, just one person in your congregation. Just look up and mean it. I mean, understand it's going to cost you what it cost them. But just mean it. Say, we can do this. God said we can take the land. We can take the land. It's called a Joshua report, a Caleb report. And all of a sudden, that got Moses off his feet again. But you know what? He was very vulnerable at that moment. And if somebody from Pico showed up and said, listen, I can tell you how to take this promised land. I understand that we can begin to organize your folks. I see you got Joshua and Caleb here. And you got a few other leaders. You know, Korah. Is he here? Oh, he's not here no more. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so we can gather them all together. You know what I'm saying? And they'll just start doing that. Or you could have to be that man or woman who stands there for with God in the presence of God that you'll answer. And there's a particular book called Leading with Graham. And the author of this book is a man that walked with Billy Graham, which is, it's all about this. If Billy would not have had him, there would have been no Billy. Mm. That's it. That's what the whole book talks about. And he protected him the whole time. So what I'm saying is this. Just as what Jesus said. Jesus said in John 13, 34 to 35, he says, a new commandment I give you. Love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everybody will know you're my disciple if your pastor loves you. No, if you love your pastor. Your pastor's already loving you. They still hanging around you. You know what I'm saying? Hmm. If they're not that other thing out there, that the fact that they're still there after all this isolation and all these attacks, that they show back up and open their Bible one more time to find out and call out for a word from God, they love you. The question is, do you love them? And love is not words. Love is laying down your life. It's being long-suffering. It's keeping no records of wrongs and constantly throwing stuff in that pastor's face. They're human with a call on their life. Love your pastor, really seriously. And if you're not called there, get to a place, to a person that you can be in agreement with that's called in their life, and you stay and stand even when it stinks, because it will stink. And these organizer folks, these organizers of the dark, and you need to go back and listen to Organizers of the Day versus Organizers of the Dark, hear the whole series, they'll come in and begin to try to organize God's people in a wrong way. I mean, I think of Hebrews 6:10. He says, this is what God says. He says, this is the word of God. God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you have shown him as you have helped that pastor, as you have helped his people and continue to help them. God sees you helping him. God sees you helping her. And he knows that person's a basket case. He knows they're human just like you are. But there's a call on their life. There's a responsibility on their life. And if you are not going to be there for your wife, for example, some other man's going to try to come in there. If you're not going to be there for your husband, some other woman's going to try to come in there. If you're not going to be there for your children, somebody else is going to try to father or mother your child, the country. And if you're not going to be there for your pastor, there is a PICO organizer, or these a whole bunch of them. That's just one that I personally know about because I was one. That's going to come in there and they're going to say, oh my goodness, you're going through a real difficult time. I can see it. I just want you to know, what is your vision for this community? And all of a sudden you cast your pearls before a PICO swine. Hmm. And they end up stomping everything God was going to do in the ground. And yeah, you got things happening now, but Jesus left a long time ago. Hmm. This is what Jesus said in Matthew 25, 31. And I'm closing with this. 31 through 46. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, He will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will gather before him, and he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates sheep and goats. He'll put the sheep on his right hand and the goat on his left. And this is what he'll say. Whatever you did to the least of these of mine, you did to me. When you turn me over, when you turn my sheep over, when you turned them over to that organizer, you did that to me. Or when you stood your ground, when you were all alone and everybody's trying to beat your brains in, they're trying to tell you, we got to bring this PICO thing or these organizers, they'll help us meet it. And you didn't surrender to that. You stay steadfast. You didn't turn me over. That's what you did to the, you didn't do that to me. Thank you. And finally, I'll say, when you were there for me, when I was a pastor over that church, day in and day out, you served that man, you served that woman, you took care of their family, you prayed for them, you gave them some money when they needed help through difficult times, and you just defended them. You did not sit at the table. You were very uncomfortable with sitting at a table with their enemies. You were just for them and constantly reminded them of what God said, like Joshua and Caleb. He says, you did that to me. And this is what he says at the end of this in Matthew 25. He says, come on in. Well done. I prepared a place for you. It's time for us not to think that goodness and love just goes down. It also goes back up. He's not there just for you. You guys are there together. And if you'll love each other, guess what? People will know that you're of God. And these organizers, they won't come in because the Holy Spirit will be there and the fear of God will be upon those. God bless. Let's just dedicate our lives to say, Lord, we're going to be here for those that you anoint to lead us, in Jesus' name. You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN TV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.